Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
I want us to look at a subject matter by definition as edification being a very vital part of the Lord's work. You know, life itself is by far a blessing. And yet at the same time, as we look to the purpose of life, our purpose for existence is to know God and to serve God faithfully during the time in which we dwell here. The Bible has been given to us by God. All Scripture is inspired by God. And as we read and study from the Scripture, we need to read and to study it and to understand that this is God's communicated message as it pertains to His will for you and me, our life here, but also it pertains to the instructions that is essential for us not only to make it through life, but to be able to dwell eternally in heaven with our God. In the New Testament Scripture, we understand that the first century church serves as an example of what New Testament Christianity is really and truly all about. As we look to the individuals that are spoken of in the Scripture, we find is that these people who are spoken of in an individual and even sometime from a group or a categorical standpoint serve as an example to you and me as Christians as to who we are to be as well as who we're not to be in our service to God. In like figure, God speaks concerning congregations in and through the New Testament Scripture. And these congregations also serve as examples of the things that we must do as well as things that we must not do in order for us to glorify God and to stand as one of His faithful children. The Bible says a lot about who we represent as a Christian or as the church individually, but friends, also the Bible says so much about who we are and represent collectively as a congregation. And as we think about us as a congregation, the Bible identifies that each and every one of us are very important to God. And all of us play a very significant role in the kingdom. All of us have been granted talents by God, abilities, and also opportunities to serve God individually, but also collectively. And whenever we do our part, then the church fits together and works to the glory of God. I was speaking with Brother Pete before services in regard to a triathlon that I was able to be involved in yesterday. And in that, I did not do the whole race. I don't think that I'm up for that. But in that, I did take part on a team. I was the cyclist, and Mickey Ralph served as our runner, and then a young lady by the name of Hannah Wright, who I had not met until yesterday, she was our swimmer. All she does is swim. Mickey, all he does is run. All I do is cycle. And together, we made a team that not only did we compete, we were also able to win our division. And Pete said, well, hey, that actually is the way we are as a church. And that's so true. Individually, we have talents and abilities that when we use those talents and abilities, we're able to accomplish some certainly great things. But together, we are able to accomplish so much more. And in all things, we know then as we do things together as a church, God gets the glory. As we think about the works of the church, there's the work of evangelism. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And friends, you and I also as Christians have a huge responsibility to reach out to seek and to save the lost. We are given the Great Commission by the Lord in the book of Matthew chapter 28 verses 18 through 20. As our Lord appeared in Galilee before the apostles, He said, "All power, our authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit." And then, after they are baptized, He goes on to explain, "teaching them to observe all things that I command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, to the end of the age." Friends, not only does this serve as a commandment for those in the first century, it also serves as a commandment for you and me in regard to a work of the church today, is that we must be involved in personal evangelism reaching out to the lost and dying world with the good news about the salvation that is extended and only achieved in Jesus Christ our Lord. A second work of the church is benevolence. We live in an age today where so many people are needing so many different things. And in that, we have a personal responsibility, obligation, and privilege also, I might say, and whenever God blesses us with the ability conjoined with the opportunity to do good. And we are to do good unto our fellow man, but especially those who are the household of faith. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. And whenever we meet the needs, help to meet the needs of individuals in our community or even in the church, God gets the glory. And if we neglect our responsibilities, it also comes back and is a reflection, a poor reflection upon sometimes God, but also upon the body of Christ. And for this reason, you and I need to understand the responsibility we have and then to take advantage of the opportunities that God lays before us to work in benevolence. The area that I want us to focus our attention on primarily today is the work of edification. What does it mean to edify? And what are the goals in edification? We learn in regard to edification to begin with is that edify literally means to build up. It's interesting as you explore the context of the New Testament Scripture and you go to the etymology or the history of the word edify or edification, it literally means that we are building a house together. And that's important as we think in regard to that term. It is somewhat of a carpenter's term, building or building a house together. It's also important, as we consider this, to understand is that the Scripture sometimes uses house to refer to a family. Note the context of the book of Acts chapter 10 and verse 2. It speaks in regard to Cornelius and his household. The house here is in reference to the family, those who were in the household of Cornelius. It also speaks in reference to David's household. And it's referring to the family of David in Luke chapter 1 and verse 21. And then in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, we have reference to Noah and his household, speaking again in this context to the family who made up these homes. Well, when we think in regard to the church then, the Bible identifies to us is that the church is the house of God. We are children of God whenever we put Christ on in baptism. And as children of God, then, the Lord adds us unto His church. Whenever we are added by the Lord into the church, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, we become a part of the family of God, the household of God. We are children of faith in Jesus Christ. Whenever we submit to Christ in baptism. And friends, as a result of that, then, we are the house of God, the family of God. And how does all this fit then into what we are considering with reference to edification? As the church, we must work individually as well as collectively to build up one another, to encourage one another, to comfort one another, to inspire one another, to move forward continually to the glory of our God's name for the purpose of the kingdom of our God. How do you and I work in the church to build one another up? Personally, we must do all that we can to cultivate within ourselves spiritual growth. In order for you and me to be able to accomplish what God wants us to do, we must look to ourselves to begin with. We must consider who we are in the sight of God, as well as who we are seeking to represent and the work that we're striving to do individually as a Christian. Friends, in all, God wants you and me to pursue knowledge. Why does God want us to pursue knowledge? Usually, whenever a person becomes a Christian, they know very little about the Scripture. What they come to understand is that they sin against God and that Jesus Christ is our Savior and that the only way in which we can have our sins forgiven is to submit to Christ in baptism. And therefore, there's so much more to learn after a person puts Christ on in baptism. And whenever they continue on in their spiritual education, in their understanding of the Scripture, they will grow not only in understanding of what the Bible teaches, but they will learn in regard to the love that God has for us. And as a result of their understanding as to how deep God loves us, their love for God will be cultivated to where it also is deeper. But friends, also, as we look to these individuals who are New Testament Christians, and oftentimes we're looking to those who are novice or new converts, we also understand that as we grow spiritually, we begin to see and to understand the works that God has for us individually as well as collectively. And as we understand these things, God wants us to operate in wisdom. And as we would apply knowledge and wisdom to our life individually and try to build one another up, then we see that the Bible explicitly identifies to us is that we need to pursue peace, and in pursuing peace, we also pursue edification. Edification of who? Well, individually, we're built up because of our relationship with God. But in the context of what the way in which it's used in the book of Romans, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, and verses 14 through verse 19, he's speaking in regard to our work with the church. We begin to see and to understand, to realize how important we are to each other in helping to grow the church. But also, the Bible identifies is that we need to build one another up by conducting our life in a manner that is not offensive. Christianity is more than about us. Christianity, to begin with, is about God. Us and God. As to the way we see God, as to the way in which we love God, as to the way in which we serve God, as to the manner in which we will worship God. But then, second to God, friends, it's also about others. It's not about us until third down the line. It is about God, and then about others, and then about ourselves. And for that reason, then, God wants us to live our lives according to His will for our sake of the relationship that we have with Him, but friends, also for the way in which we touch the lives of other people. People are constantly looking to us. People are constantly listening to us. And the way in which we live our life will shine as a light upon Christianity. And if we live in accordance to the standards of God, then we're going to shine a light that shines truly as to what it means to be a Christian. But if we live a life that is contrary, then we're giving them a false impression of what God requires of His people. And in this then, oftentimes we find is that individuals who live their life contrary to the will of God, yet they claim to be a Christian. Number one, the Bible identifies those individuals as hypocrites. But also we see is that people become offended, and therefore they're turned off from God. And if you and I want to be able to be successful in reaching the lost, we must make sure that our life is not lived in an offensive manner to others. But friends, also, we build one another up by supporting one another during difficult times. Support is very important. Yesterday, over at the triathlon, there were not only all of the athletes competing, but there were family members and friends there, and they were cheering people along the way. Dawn was not able to be there, and Amanda, they had gone out to the ladies' retreat, and ladies, thank you for going out there and doing that, and for those who organized it, a beautiful work and beautiful opportunity. Trent, though, was able to come over, and Trent was my team. He was cheering me on, and very encouraging. As Christians, we need encouragement. We need support. It shows that we care about one another, but it also identifies is that we have a concern, a genuine interest and concern in what's going on in the lives of people. And whenever people see how much we care for them, it builds us up. It edifies. And not only the individual with friends, it also has an impact upon the entire body. But in like figure, we build one another up by guarding our mouth from speaking things that would be considered corrupt. And I'm not only talking about vulgarity, but I'm talking about speaking in ways that would be condescending. Speaking in a way that would tear someone down. Speaking in a way that would not be honest and true, but speaking in a way that is intended to hurt someone. We've got to be very careful with our words, because whenever we use our words, we can't take them back. Whenever things are put on the table, they're out there for everyone to see. And the problem with all that is that those things can hurt and even destroy people. I remember an old adage from years ago as a child, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. And there's not, I don't think, much truth in that. Words do harm us. They harm us emotionally. They harm us mentally, or even sometimes intellectually. And they can depress us and get us down. And for this reason, as Christians, we must guard our mouths against corrupt things, things that would destroy, but rather focus upon those things that will edify, build one another up continually. Why is church edification so important? Why does God emphasize the need for you and me to work continually on building one another up? I believe to begin with because of the effect that it has upon the individuals. As we are recipients of someone offering kind words of encouragement to us or doing a kind deed, we see the effects that it has upon us, and that within itself leads or drives us to greater faithfulness and love towards God as we go through this life, hopefully to live faithful before God so that we will be able to dwell eternally with Him in heaven. But friends, also, I believe that the Bible identifies concerning the importance of edification to the fact that it helps to unify us, to draw us together. In congregations where there's disunity, I think that you will find is that they've not spent much time on edification, on building one another up. They're not as connected as what we are supposed to be, as what God commands us to be. And as a result of that, then, they're always biting and devouring one another. And yet at the same time, whenever the church family is a family as God commands us to be, we are always concerned about each other, always seeking to offer advice that is helpful, always seeking to put forth an effort that says, I love you, putting forth an effort also that indicates, I want to see you grow as a Christian. And I have a genuine concern as to who you are today and where you're going to spend eternity. As a result of that, then, the congregation is edified and unified in a manner that will glorify God. But friends, also, we need to think outside of the doors. Whenever you and I work for edification, those things are seen by everyone outside of here. People see and they understand whenever you and I are working for edification. And God opens up doors for us continually with those who are lost. And as they would look and consider us and our position in the church here at East End, they're going to weigh as to whether or not they want to maybe visit with us, or maybe even if they're going to obey the gospel, based out of who we are collectively sometimes as a congregation. And if they see that we are unified and that we work towards edification, that's going to be encouraging to them. And that door might not only be open, but we might be able to go in and to sit down and to bring forth another soul before it's eternally too late, as man would stand before God. As we think about edification, God wants us to understand that edification is extremely important to Him. And because edification is extremely important to God, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, it must also be important to us. And if we have failed individually or even collectively in our efforts to edify, to build one another up, if we've not pursued edification in life, but rather destruction, if that's been our motivation through life, we will stand accountable before God. And God warns us of these things and of the judgment to help us to understand the importance of glorifying Him and living for Him today, but also to understand that it's not just about our relationship with God, it's also about our relationship with one another. Let's do our part here at East End to continue to abound in edification, individual as well as congregational. This morning, if you're here amongst us, you're not a New Testament Christian, we want you to know that God loves you and we love you. God has demonstrated His love towards all of mankind by giving Jesus Christ, His Son and our Savior, to die for the sins of man. And also, though He gives us opportunities such as today, collectively as we come together, that one might respond to the invitation. The invitation is always open. But today, what greater opportunity is laid before those who are outside than what we have today? If you're outside of Christ, we want to invite you with His invitation.